All right, we're going to begin tonight by looking at Haggai chapter number 2. And we're going to continue our biblical presentation of the doctrine of separation. It's the lost doctrine of the 21st century. And that is why we are in the apostasy that we are in, because of a lack of practicing and believing the doctrine of separation. Now, the non-separatists have a false premise. And the non-separatists, their false premise is that you can mix good and evil and the good will not be affected. So we have a few slides that we'll show, but you can turn your Bible to Haggai chapter 2 and we'll put that slide up. But Haggai chapter 2, please. I have to get there myself, sorry. If anyone bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. All right, so you have the sacrifice of the temple. The priest is carrying this sacrifice and he touches something that is common. He touches some other bread or pottage or grape juice or oil or any meat. What's the result? Will that holy sacrifice now still be holy? No, we'll not be holy because it's touched something unholy. Now notice the other verse says, if any that is unclean by a dead man, dead body, touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Okay, so a person touches a dead body. Now whatever he touches is going to be unclean. Right? You know, maybe Americans would think of it this way. If you have a clean car and you have a dirty hand and you touch the clean car with your dirty hand, will your dirty hand now be clean? Or will the dirty car be dirty? Dirty car will be dirty. I mean, the clean car will now be dirty. The clean car will now be dirty. All right? Now what? Well, those who do not teach separation or preach separation or believe in separation, this is what they believe. They believe you can mix good and evil, and the good isn't affected. That's the false premise of non-separatists. The good can come in contact, the holy can come in contact with the unholy, and the holy, they believe falsely, will still be holy. Now check your thinking. Check your thinking. Is that how you think? Is that how you think? I can touch this, that which is unholy, and I'll be unaffected. That's the false premise of the non-separatists. Okay? And there's a lot of applications to that. But tonight, go back slide, we want to talk about the three types of separation taught in the Bible. Three types of separation taught in the Bible. And those three types are, number one, personal separation. Number two, ecclesiastical separation. And number three, the separation of church and state. And we want to look at each one of those that, from the Bible tonight. Personal separation. Personal separation is that separation from sin and sinful things and sinful practices in your personal life. Then this, the separation that is required to separate from sin, sinful things, sinful practices in your personal life. Now, there's obviously many verses in the Bible, but think of Proverbs 5 and verse 8. It says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." Of course, here it's talking about the strange woman. And the strange woman represents the lusts of the world. And the Bible says, remove your way far from her. Why? Because destroy your life. Take away your honor. Make your life full of terrible things. You'll lose your wealth, and at the end, you'll mourn over the consumption of sin. Now, separation. The Bible says don't even come near her. Don't even come near her. Don't come close at all, because she's powerful. Now, let me ask a question. Do you really believe that? Do you believe what the Bible says? Don't come close. Okay. What do you let your kids do then? What do you let your kids do? Where do you let them go? Who do you let them be around? What places do you let them go? Well, do you really believe in separation? Do you really believe the Bible? The Bible says, come not nigh to the door of her house. Don't even come anywhere near the influence of the sin of the world and sin itself. Now you see, a lot of parents do not believe in personal separation because they do not believe what the Bible says. That when good is touched by evil, the good is no longer good. Period. Now, obviously there's lots of other verses. Let's look at 1 John 2. The need for personal separation. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, so, needs to be separation from the things of the world. And what does the Bible define the world? The world system that's based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Why? Because the world system will take away your love for God. The two cannot coexist. They don't coexist. They will not coexist. They do not coexist. They're mutually exclusive. Do you understand that? The world takes away a person's love for God. Period. That's what the Bible says. You fall in love with the world, you lose your love for God. The Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the person who doesn't separate from the world will stop obeying the commandments of God. Because they've lost their love for God. Because you cannot mix that which is holy and that which is evil and the holy not being affected. Without the holy being affected. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. A lot of parents don't believe it. A lot of church members don't believe it. A lot of Christian people don't believe it. I can go here. It's not going to affect me. That place is full of the lust of the flesh. It's full of worldly thinking. It's full of the pride of life. Not going to, oh, really? It is going to affect you. The Bible says separate from it. If you don't separate from it, you will be affected by it. Personal separation. Now, there's many things that would fit under that. Personal separation. Rock music. The dance, the movie theater, Hollywood. Worldly society. All those things. Part of this world. The upper crust. Yeah. The lust of the eyes. You know what the lust of the eyes is? All about the wealth of the world. The things of the world. You know, that really counts. Having the nicest clothes. Having the nicest car. Having the nicest truck. Having the nicest house. That's the lust of the eyes. That's, you know, that's all this world has. Do you know that? That's all this world has. The Bible says, love not the world. You come nigh her door, it's going to affect you. You know, life is more than making a dollar. Life is a lot more than making a dollar. You know, that's the lust of the eyes. That's the pride of life. Making a dollar. Compromise to make a dollar. Be in the wrong place to make a dollar. Send your kid to the wrong place to make a dollar. Guess it's going to happen. The Bible makes it very clear. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Mutually exclusive. You know, I give you some illustrations. But you know, there's great fundamental denominations or institutions that the reason that they have become apostate in their doctrine is because it started off with a lack of personal separation. By stopping preaching against the movies and rock music and immodesty. Their people lost their love for God and eventually lost their doctrinal purity. General Association of Regular Baptists is a prime example of that. And modern fundamentalism is a prime example of that. It's happened many times in recent history. That's personal separation. Now the Bible also teaches ecclesiastical separation. That's a big word. It comes from the word ecclesia, which means assembly, or it's often translated in the Bible, church. Ecclesiastical separation really has to do with the issue of separation from religious unbelief, compromise, and false systems of religion. The demand to separate from unbelief, compromise, false systems of religion. Now, is this taught in the Bible? Well, certainly it's taught in the Bible. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 18. We have the system of Babylon. And Babylon is a religious economic system. And this is what the Lord tells his people. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Here's Babylon. Religious, political, economic system of the last days. Babylon representing false religion. It says, come out of her. Come out of her. Her, an institution, an organization. You know, see, this is different from personal separation. We think of mainly of personal things, but this is talking about institutions, organizations, religious entities. Come out from among her, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. You see, when the holy touches the holy becomes unholy. It's not like the leaders of New Evangelicalism, like Billy Graham said, we will go into the liberal denominations and we will affect them. No, the Bible says you go into them and they will affect you. Don't deceive yourself. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. We have the condemnation of the churches that did not practice separation from religious unbelief and doctrinal impurity. Verse 14 of Revelation 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed on idols, and to commit fornication. So they were allowing in their church those who had the doctrine of Balaam. And you know what? God didn't approve, did he? God did not approve. He did not approve that they allowed those who were who had the beliefs of this false system in their church. Teaching. Didn't approve of it. Now look at, and Balak represents pragmatism. Pragmatism. You know you're going to get a bigger crowd if you throw away your dress standards. You're going to get a bigger crowd if you got rock music. You're going to get a bigger crowd if you have casual apparel at church. You're going to have a bigger crowd. It's pragmatism. But what will happen? The church will become polluted with worldliness and unbelief. Now notice it says in verse 20. Now here's the church of Thyatira. He says, nevertheless, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Well, of course, we know Jezebel, Ahab's wife. She seduced the people of Israel to worship Baal, the god Baal. A wicked fertility god of the Phoenicians. And we won't describe it, but very wicked. The Bible says that in the last days that there will be those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they will say the grace of God means anything goes. Just love one another. Just love one another. Love one another at the bar. Love one another at the movie theater. You know, love one another at the prom. Love one another, you know, at the beach in half-naked clothing. Just love one another. And the Bible says that we're supposed to come out from among these false systems. These false systems. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 16. It says, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh man, they're religious people. They're on the corner praying. They go to the synagogue every Saturday. They're spiritual people. They have false doctrine. They have false doctrine. Beware the leaven. You play around with false doctrine, the good will become polluted. The good will become defiled. Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. So we have ecclesiastical separation. To separate from all forms of unbelief, apostasy, liberalism, false teaching, compromise in the religious world. Separate from it. Now, there's another kind of separation that's important to know about. Separation of church and state. Matthew 22:21. Matthew 22:21. They asked him if you should pay your taxes. And so he answered, verse 17. They said, "Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Tribute is taxes. "Should you pay your taxes?" And he said, "Well, show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose image is this?" And superscription, they said unto them, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Now, what are the things of Caesar? Turn to Romans 13. Romans 13, what are the things of Caesar? Verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." All right, what's the role of Caesar? Bear a sword to punish evildoers, to bring law and order and peace, and to keep people safe. He has a sword. The Lord told Noah, "He that sheddeth blood, his blood shall be shed." That's the role of government. Justice and, punishing of evildoers, keeping law and order. That's the role of the government. So the government has a sword. Now we realize that the government today, we won't get there. So what's the role of the church? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the role of the church. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Role of the church. The church's tool is the Bible. Government's tool is the sword. Those two roles need to be separate. They should not be mixed. They have separate purposes. To mix the role of the church and state, which are to be separate, brings in a multitude of evils. You take the sword or the taxing power of the state, to spread the gospel, quote unquote, now you have forced belief, which is no belief at all. When you mix the church and the state becomes a tool to kill the innocent. And to justify the murder of the wicked. The murdering, the murderous acts of the wicked in the name of God. I mean, obviously, Allah of Islam is a great example of the violation of God's plan of separation of church and state. And they use the sword to force people into whatever belief. And they use the power to tax to force people to convert to believe. And we know that for centuries that the Catholic Church, which was a part of the Holy Roman Empire, which was a union of the church and state, used the sword of the state to kill millions who did not believe as they did. You mix the church and state, you don't get good. You mix the church and state, you confuse the purposes of God. And now the purpose of government has been wronged, and the purpose of the church has been changed. Now, it's kind of interesting. If you look at our text of separation in Deuteronomy chapter 12, or is it Deuteronomy 22? Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, yeah, 22 verses 9 through 12. Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 12. We see the parallel here. Thou shalt not sow, verse 9, thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Reminder that separation is for the purpose of a godly seed. Separation is for the purpose of the preservation of a godly seed. Those who do not practice personal separation in their home are destroying the godly seed. Notice the second thing. Verse 10, thou shalt not plow with the ox and the ass together. This is a parallel with 2 Corinthians 6 where it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What part hath the temple of God with idols, etc.? Here you're talking about work. Work. And you know what? The church is about the work of God. And the work of God needs to be done correctly, biblically. If you don't practice separation in the work of God, guess what you have? And I'll take the Culver's pass. Guess what you have? You have confusion. You have deterioration of the work of God. You have the breakdown of the gospel. This is ecclesiastical separation, folks. This is ecclesiastical separation. Churches don't, you shouldn't, churches don't work with other churches, other institutions, other organizations, etc., that aren't biblically sound. Period. And as an individual, the same thing. You should not work with an institution, a religion, an organization that is not biblically sound. Because why? The work of God is being destroyed. The work of God is being destroyed. You think you're doing the work of God, but you aren't. You're destroying it. Yeah, just get that, you know. Get that little Chihuahua and get a Great Dane and have him pull the wagon, see if he can pull it straight. No, it's always going to be going to the one side. You know? What if the cliff is on that side? And what if the baby's in the what if a baby's in the wagon? Oh, no, we can't do it. So here we have ecclesiastical separation. Verse 12, 11, I mean, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, of wool and linen together. Well, wool has different purposes than linen. Aren't you glad God made different fabric or threads or whatever you want to call it for clothing? He says, don't mix them. You do. You lose the individual trait of whatever thread it is. Don't you love cotton mixed with polyester? No. How'd you like to have a cotton polyester undershirt, guys? Hot. Hot. No breathing. Hot. Well, you mix fabrics. God created cotton for breathing. As well as warm, but breathing. Has purpose. Now you want cotton next to your skin. I hope I'm talking right, but you don't want wool next to your skin. But you know what? The best suit is 100% wool. But you don't want it next to your skin. You want cotton next to your skin. Now here's the difference. It's saying, don't mix purposes. You put church and state and you put them together. You mixing two institutions that have separate purposes and you get a big problem. You know, that's why most Anabaptists were pacifists. Because all the governments in Europe were a marriage of church and state. And it violated the Bible. And therefore the Baptists would not go to war with a system that had broken down God's plan of distinction. They were pacifist. Because the government was a union in most cases of the church and state. They became pacifists. Because the government was wrong. It did not have its own distinct purpose. It had taken over and mixed itself with the mission of, may we use the word broadly, church. Three kinds of separation. Personal separation. Ecclesiastical separation. Separation of church and state. All vital. To violate that is to violate God's fundamental laws of life. The fundamental laws of life are based on separation. Now you think about that. The fundamental laws of life, separation. I've never heard of that. That's how big a mess we're in today. Do you think the compromisers want you to know the doctrine of separation? You think so? Yeah, you think the apostates want you to believe the doctrine of separation? Of course not. I don't want you to know that. They don't want you to believe that. You're going to think they're going to ridicule you, scoff at you so you'll bend? Of course. Of course. Do you think the devil knows that everything is going towards the one world system, one world religious, economic, political system, Mother Babylon? Do you think the devil knows that? Of course he does. He want people to separate from it? Obviously not. The devil doesn't want a pure church. The devil doesn't want the truth to prevail. The devil doesn't want a godly seed, does he? And we can see today that our government, more and more, is taking on the role of the propagator of its own religion, which is evolutionary humanism. That's secular evolutionary humanism, is the religion of our government. It's taught in the schools. It's taught in the universities. It's protected in the courts. It's foisted on everyone. Because we have allowed our government to get out of its place and invade the place of the role of teaching for God. Only their God is Satan. So, very important truth. Three kinds of separation required in the Bible. Personal, ecclesiastical, and separation of church and state. I gave you a couple of illustrations as I close. You heard this one before. In the early part of the 20th century, Presbyterian Church was increasingly becoming liberal and modernistic, dead. And out of the Presbyterian Church is a group of people who are godly, who are saved, and they said, you know, we can't be a part of this. And so within the Presbyterian Church, they formed the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And there were some great men in there. A.B. Simpson was one of them. And A.W. Tozer was another one of them. And you think we're conservative in personal separation. A lot of what goes on, a lot of what's worn around here would not be allowed. It's a 10-foot pole. Great missionary movement. Most of the missionaries in Vietnam were from the Christian Missionary Alliance. In their beginnings, they were godly people. And you can see, remember, what's the name of that book, Jim, about the missionaries in Vietnam? I can still see the picture. One of those Christian Missionary Alliance missionary ladies being, drugged through the, forced on a march through the jungles by the communists. through the jungles. You know what she's wearing? Dress. But anyway, a few years ago, I was knocking on doors in Maquoneago, and I saw the sign. Tozer Castro on the mailbox. Now, I didn't really understand much about Mexican culture and the names, all that stuff, and how that goes, and I still don't really get it yet, but forgive me. Alberto will have to help me out. But I saw the name, Tozer Castro. And I says, Tozer. Very interesting. So I go up to the door, knock on the door. And a Hispanic man answers the door. And I said, whatever, how do you say it, Hey, I'm, what does that, mean, Tozer? Is your wife a Tozer? A.W. Tozer, ever heard of A.W. Tozer? And I found out that his wife, now they met at Carroll College, used to be a Presbyterian school. Remember, Christian Missionary Alliance was a part of Presbyterian Church. But then they separated because it got too liberal. And he says, yeah, my wife is the granddaughter of A.W. Tozer. We met at Carroll College. Two and two makes four. I got it. That's the right one. The great A.W. Tozer's granddaughter. I said, now I already figured it out. Carroll College, rank, liberal, scoffers mock the Bible. Liberal agenda to the max. I had that figured out. So I asked this question. I said, well, do you find people, what do you think of A.W. Tozer? What do you think about him? I mean, this lady, her dad was a son of A.W. Tozer. I don't know what to ask. I said, what do they think about him? And he said, well, when the family gets together, they laugh. They mock the beliefs of A.W. Tozer, the great, great godly man. They scorn and laugh and mock. I asked a couple more questions, and I don't know how I got there, but you know what I found out? A.W. Tozer got caught in the new evangelical agenda, which is get the academic approval of the world. So he sent his sons to McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago, Oh boy, big seminary. Top education, intellectualism. Yay, that's what I want for my boys. Top education. And all his sons, I believe four of them, went to this liberal. Oh, great institution. And every one of them lost their faith. Every one of them left that place saying the Bible isn't true. Every one of them left that place denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because a great man... For what reason? I don't know. Peer pressure? Acceptance of the elite of the world? I don't know. Instead of wanting the credentials that would be impressive to the liberals, you know, sent the sons there in violation of the Bible. He lost them all. Instead of becoming Christ lifter-uppers, they became Bible deniers. You know why? Didn't practice separation. That's why. One simple reason. I can give you all sorts of illustrations in life how this happens. Whether it's personal separation or it's ecclesiastical separation. Whatever it is. It never turns out right when you disobey the doctrine of separation. You know, if you don't practice it in your home, don't think you're going to be an exception to the rule. You don't take that which is godly and mix it with something ungodly and it's okay. Doesn't work that way. When you mix the godly with the ungodly, you get what? Ungodly, right? That's it. You don't take the godly, mix it with the ungodly, and make the ungodly godly. Doesn't happen. Very important truth. You know, poor old Billy Graham. Poor old Billy Graham. He thought he was going to win the liberals by getting the liberals to join him in his crusades. I don't know of one liberal leader that ever got saved under Billy Graham. Not a one. Now, I talk about this with a lot of, without too much trouble nowadays, because he's almost at the end of his life, but 30 years from now, you mention the name of Billy Graham, and whoa! But, who got affected? Did liberals get saved? No, not a one of them. None of those liberal leaders got saved. Not one of those denominational leaders got saved. Not one of them that I know of ever came out of liberalism. But you know what happened? Billy Graham got affected. And Billy Graham, his son's now said, don't give any more interviews. We don't want the cat out of the bag anymore. But I don't know how many years ago it was. He was on Schuller, Robert Schuller, Crystal Cathedral. You know, positive thinker, doesn't believe in the new birth, doesn't believe in the sin nature, doesn't believe in hell. You know, and he's interviewing Billy Graham. And he said to Billy Graham, He said, Billy, will there be people in heaven who haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior? Billy Graham says, yep. He says, Billy, say that again. Say that again. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Will there be people in heaven who haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior? And Billy Graham said, yes. Just so long they did the best that they knew. Just so they did the best that they knew. Get the quote. It's pretty close. I just said. Who got changed? Billy Graham. Because you don't violate the law of separation ever without being affected. Take your nice clean hand next time you have a dirty car. Rub it off the car and see what happens to your nice clean hand. Car is still dirty, right? But now your hand's dirty too. That's the way it goes. Very important principle. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, it tells us the real thinking of separation. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't ever come on the same ground with them. But rather, reprove them. You know what it means? It means, not only will I not do what you do, but I am glad to be different and do right. That's what it means. I'm glad to obey God and to be different, and I have no desire to change. Now that's real separation. But if this person is saying, well, I guess I can't do that. I sure would like to. I guess I can't do that. I tell you what, that's not separation, is it? Huh? Is that separation? Not at all. That's not the heart of separation. That's not the heart of God. And so God has a rule for separation for individuals. God has a rule of separation for churches. God has a rule of separation about church-state relations. Each one of them are very foundational truths. That we need to apply. I'll give you one last verse. 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 18 of 6. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, it says the Laodicean church is blind. You know why they're blind? Because they have tolerated evil. They're blind, spiritually blind. Because they have coexisted in darkness and compromise. And now they are blind. That's such important truth. I don't want to preach that sermon too. But, go online, get, what's the name of that book? Talbot Spence, Contending about contemporary music, something like that. You need to read that book. That may help you understand this very important truth in the area. Well, what do you think? Do we believe the doctrine of separation? Do we believe it's a mandate in the Bible? Or do we believe, lean upon your own understanding? That's the choice, right? Lean under our own understanding. Or, if you love me, keep my commandments. The purity of the seed, the purity of the church is at stake. It's so easy in this day to lower down the walls and just work with anything, anybody, because if you don't, they'll make fun of you. But that doesn't count. What counts is what God thinks. You know what counts? Now, young people, you need to have personal unction in your life. You know, there's got to be a point where the parents stop saying, "Don't do this." There's got to be a point when you say, "I will not do that. I don't want to do that. I'm going to separate from evil. I'm going to do right." Isn't that right? You got to get God, get a hold of your own life. Now, some parents need to let God get a hold of their life. Some young people need to let God get a hold of their life. I think that's just about what real Christianity is. You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. You know, doesn't have any grandchildren. You know, there comes a point in your life that, in one sense, where what pastor says doesn't mean anything. Right? I mean, God's plan is you get taught it, and the Spirit of God says that's right, and you make it your own. And this is one of those doctrines that ought to be that way. Very essential. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tonight, and thank you for the very important truths of the Word of God. And Lord, a lost doctrine, lost teaching in these days of apostasy. No wonder. Lord, we know it's your will that while we're in this world, we be kept from the evil. We're to be in this world, spread the word of God, but we're to remain pure in the genetic seed, in the institution of the church, in our life. Perhaps here tonight, the Lord is speaking to you as parents. And you say, you know what? We need to shore up the doctrine of separation in our home. Maybe it's on personal separation. Maybe it's some kind of the program you listen to on the radio. Maybe it's places you let your children go to. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Pastor, you're right. I haven't been very strong about separation. I've kind of, you know, the crowd that I'm in, the places I go, I can see just what you said. My heart And love for obedience is being taken away. And my soul is being drawn closer to the world. And God is waking you up tonight and say, I need to confess my sin, return to obedience, and separate from the things of the world and the sins of the world, that I might be godly for God. Here tonight and say, Pastor, I have an important decision to make about this whole doctrine of separation. Maybe it's parents, how you raise your children. Maybe it's how you function yourself. There are so many areas that this should needs to be applied, but God has spoken to your heart and said, that, you know what, there's an important decision I need to make tonight. And by God's grace, my uplifted hand, I'm saying, yes, I can obey God's word and how the Spirit of God is speaking to me tonight. Anyone here tonight, just raise your hand. Okay. All right. Praise God. Okay. All right. Lord, thank you for decisions. And we thank you that your truth is the living truth. And I pray that, Lord, it would do its work in the hearts of your people. And that, Lord, those who seek to obey this commandment would be encouraged in a world that is mocking them and making fun of them for obeying the Bible. Might they be encouraged? Might be parents encouraged to raise their family under biblical principles, so that the seed would not be polluted, but it would be pure and godly. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.